So, okie dokie. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. I pray that you'd help us as we walk with you through the nation of Israel. We are obviously walking in our imagination by print, but yet help us to learn some things as we kind of gather in the crowd that's following you everywhere, and that we might be able to apply some things. Learn some things, draw closer to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, remember the person that God had record this 16 chapters was a fellow named Mark. John Mark was his name. And in Acts 13:13, you know, get the numbers, Acts 13:13, he left the first missionary trip to go back to Jerusalem. And that upset Paul quite a bit, even to the point where on the second trip, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, and Paul said, nothing doing, I don't want that mama's boy. And so then they got a big argument, and so Barnabas took John Mark, and Paul took Silas. And people kind of raked John Mark over to coals, but I would say he just got homesick. Probably never left his home. I understand that homesickness. But eventually down the road, I'm sure maybe when the first time he was came across Paul again, he was probably a little bit gun-shy, kind of wondering, what's he going to think about me? I'm sure he was mad at me for leaving, blah, blah, blah. Well, then later on in 2 Timothy 4, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, bring John Mark because he's profitable to the ministry. So everybody has their little disagreements along the way, and the Lord wants us to have grace toward others, and so it's pretty exciting for him that he was given 16 chapters to write. So on Mark chapter 6, we'll start there. Remember that in chapter 5 he dealt with a maniac, and then he healed several folks. And so then in verse 1, he went out from thence and came into his own country. So he's heading over to the northwest part of Israel. This would be in Nazareth. So that's where he went, and his disciple followed him. I think at this time he still had about 70 with him. In John 6, several of the 70 left. And amazingly, they left in chapter 6, verse 66. So you got that numbering system in the Bible that's coincidence. And so coincidence is usually when God wants to remain anonymous. And so then, verse 2, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in a synagogue. Okay, so Sabbath day, so his Jewish ministry, Matthew 10. He said that we are going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then on occasion, he would go to the Samaritans. And on occasion, some Gentiles. But the vast majority of the time, to Israel. And a synagogue was like a local place where they'd have a Bible study. And it didn't seem... They probably had somebody kind of monitor it, I guess you could say. But when the Lord came around, he started teaching. And it says that many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? Where did he learn this from? What's the usual question that people ask? You know, somebody has taught something after maybe they enjoyed something. They usually say something like, what school did you go to? That's what they usually do. What school? And then when you tell them, then immediately you're labeled. Okay, and so why can't the person just read it? I can't. You know, last night I just started my first lecture in the Peterson Academy. Jordan Peterson. So he was talking about Nietzsche, and I'm like, Nietzsche? Oh, boy. He's the one that said God is dead. So somebody write something, Nietzsche, God is dead, sign Nietzsche. And then when Nietzsche died, somebody wrote, Nietzsche is dead, sign God. But you can learn, it says in Luke 16, sometimes the children of light are wiser than the children or the children of the world are wiser than children of light. So we can learn from anybody. So in this context, it says, from whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which was given unto him? Okay, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Why is it that we, in our human nature, look at the messenger rather than the message? We all do that. We're all guilty of that. Okay, if we like the messenger, we're more inclined to believe his message. If we don't like the messenger, we're more inclined not to believe the message. Why don't we discard the messenger in our thought process, divorce them from the message, and look at the message? That's what we ought to do. Look at the message. And what that does, that keeps everybody on the path of humility, because if you don't like the messenger, your personality don't jive, or you just don't like them, and you're willing to accept their message in spite of the person, that keeps you humble. And this party who recognizes that people are interested in the message, not the messenger, that keeps them humble, rather than saying, oh, people just want to hear me talk. Now I'll put a cork in it, and I'll be fine with it too. So it's a common thing, and we all need to try to look at the words. Okay, look at the words. If you say to some people, maybe John R. Rice, who was a good man, but he was absolutely wrong on the Bible issue, and some people would say, get mad, you know, I mean, okay, come on, he's human like everybody else. The same with Hiles Anderson. You know, people that bragged on Jack Hiles all that much. The same with Ruckman. You know, the Ruckman boys, you know, if you say anything derogatory toward Ruckman, he wasn't perfect. And it's not saying anybody is, you know, just because they're wrong about an issue, it doesn't mean I'm going to throw everything out. You know, and so the thing is, we want to look at the message rather than the messenger. And in this context, the ones that had issues with Jesus in the next verse was the people that he grew up with and his brothers and sisters. Now, they could not have said, you were nasty when you were a kid. I mean, I don't believe the Lord was nasty. He was sinless. That had to kind of work on their brain, you know. But in verse 3, is not this the carpenter? Oh, the carpenter. He's not a lawyer. He's not a doctor. He's just a dumb carpenter. The dumb farmer. You know, when we'd play basketball, Crown Point would come down. They would be our rivals, and they'd come down in bib overalls, and they'd be in the stands in their bib overalls, you know, thinking of a bunch of dumb farmers. And but yet they don't know how to grow a crop. They have to live by us dumb farmers. And so.
That's all right. Some of us Crown Pointers.
Well, they sure had more knowledge or wisdom when they built their public school than ours did. My dad told them, don't build it like this. And he was on the school board, but he got outvoted. And anybody that went to Lowell High School, after we got them circle pods, whenever it rained, what happened? Buckets everywhere from leaks. And my dad told them that was going to happen. But he got outvoted on that. They said, well, it's worked where it's at. And Dad said, where's it at? Texas? He said, Texas doesn't have the freezing and thawing that we have. But some people that get in that position, they've been educated. And that dumb farmer didn't know what he's talking about. KV, they were smart. They talked to a farmer how to build their building. And boy, they got a nice structure. But Lowell's been dumping millions into this building ever since that day and just raking in the coals on the tax paying. It's just amazing. He's a carpenter. The Lord was a carpenter. Okay, then it says the son of Mary, and you can go to the cross reference in Matthew 1:25, the firstborn son of Mary. Okay, but the new Bibles take firstborn out, okay, because they want to perpetuate the perpetual virginity of Mary. Okay, the son of Mary, the brother of James and, what do you say, Joseph of Judah and Simon. So you've got the brothers' names. And are not his sisters here with us? Doesn't name that. And they were offended at him. Why did they get offended? Because they considered the messenger, he doesn't have PhD after his name, you know, which means post hole digger. I have PhD after my name. I was the youngest pilot, you know, in our family because Dad said pilot here. So I would pilot there. And so people get offended about those things. Why can't you just listen to a person's words? Now, the Catholic Church will say that the word brother here means cousin because they want to promote the idea of Mary not having other children. Well, I do believe the writers of the Bible knew what the word cousin was in Luke chapter 1. Verse 36, this one said, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, so that would be Mary's cousin. So the writers knew what a cousin, the difference between a cousin and a brother. Okay, and of course, the Catholic Church elevates Mary too high, and I'm sure she's probably the biggest protester of it. Okay, because her testimony in Luke 2:1-2, where she said that Jesus is my Lord, my Savior. He's referring to she needing a Savior. Now, in America, they're not as blatant with their worship of Mary as they are in more Hispanic cultures, where they'll put Mary in a big statue and pray to her versus Mary or Jesus. So it makes it a feminine religion, okay, is what it does. So, okay, sons, do we have something that's really will tie this down for us? Okay, if you would try John 2. John 2, verse 16. So this is right after the first public miracle. Jesus paralleling Moses, where he turned water to blood. Jesus turned water to wine. And in John 2, right after that, he went to the temple and then over through the money changers, the changers of money. Okay, and then in verse 16, the people commented about his zeal, John 2:16. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. So that's a common saying, what's eating at you? So if you have a reference, where would that run you? Where it says it is written, there should be a reference there. Okay, and the reference is Psalm, what you got there, Psalm, I know we can get a good reference Bible if you don't have one, Psalm 69, there you go. So that's the reference, so if we go back to Psalm 69, and look at it, Psalm 69, verse 9. And here's the Old Testament. Okay, so the New Testament in John 2, what are we told that it was originally written in? The New Testament, we're told it's written in Greek, and the Old Testament, we're told it's written in Hebrew. So the John 2 is an inspired translation that doesn't match the original, so a translation definitely can be inspired. So that's just a simple example. Psalm 69, verse 9, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. So there's the John 2 connection. So jump above it. Jump above it. The next verse 8, I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Now, is that not a kind of really ties it down, doesn't it? So, Mark 6, that's his brothers and sisters. Same father, same mother, different father. Okay, so that definitely ties it down to the Lord. Now, it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that at least one of them, James believed in the Lord after the resurrection. And it doesn't name the others, but I would probably say they probably would accept that too. But there it is as far as the Lord goes. So in verse 4 or 3, at the end, they were offended at him. They weren't offended at him because of his abusive, you know, not abuse, not sin, not heresy. They were just offended because a peer of their age knew something more than they knew. And that just means that this person took more effort into studying things. Okay? It's like you know, a person says, you could say, all of us are ignorant, it's just in different areas. That's really, we are. Okay, a person may be good in this area or this area, and this is where a multitude counselors come in, where you go to somebody who is an expert in a certain field, go to that person for that one, then go to another one for that one. As I was studying the Bible, especially doctrine, you know, I would obviously learned a lot from Peter Ruckman as far as rightly dividing doctrine, but I'm not going to go to him on marriage counseling or raising a family or American history. There's a lot of things that he was wrong on, but, you know, a lot of people just don't want to accept that idea. And boy, he would rake people over to coals that were wrong. And so what goes around comes around. You best better take it. So it's just saying that we all have different experiences in life. We've learned different things. And the Lord will give each of us some additional knowledge in areas that other people may not have. And so we want to glean from anybody and everybody. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. So that doesn't mean we just blindly accept it. Prove all things. The idea there is question everything. And you're not being a smart aleck with anybody. It's just that I want to be confirmed in my spirit that something, an idea, I am persuaded it is true. So it's too bad that they were offended, but this is a common thing, and we need to kind of keep that in mind. So in verse 4, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. So this is a common thing. After being a pastor here about 3, 4, 5, 6 months, I forget, maybe it's after the second vote. Ronnie was walking out one Sunday morning. I said, hey, Ronnie, I'm still your kid brother. Nothing going to change that. I'm still your brother. When I go to the farm, don't call me pastor. And I'm sure he's not going to call me. He might call me some other things. And when I got to the farm, I was always third on the rung in the ladder. There was no hope of me moving up. You know. And then when two churches took place, then I bowed out. Now Aaron's third. And so that's just the way. Well, now he's second. Ronnie's first. But that's just how it is. And so we each have kind of a specialty. Now in verse 5, he said, he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. So am I reading that right? That that party's faith was not necessary for Jesus Christ to heal them? Is that not what that said? So when the fake healers travel around and put up their tents or they're on TV, and if they don't heal somebody, what do? They blame the one with the infirmity. Oh, you don't have faith. Well, how do you raise a dead person if they don't have faith? And so this idea, and there's been times where Jan worked on people, energy healing, and the person just says, I don't believe it's going to work. And we just say, fine. But when it did work, oh. You know, and so that's the beauty about the Lord. Okay, I like the one daddy that his boy was bad shape, and he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And that's just being honest. So the Lord, verse 6, the Lord marveled because of their unbelief. And you and I can look around at people, and you look at people who are highly educated and marvel in that you really think that nothing exploded accidentally and put this world the way it is? You really believe that? Yeah. I think you need to be put in a straitjacket, brought to a mental institution. I mean, you really believe that Kamala's done anything politically? You believe she's black? When 3 years ago she said she's Indian. I mean, people just buy into this stuff. It's just amazing to me. And you don't have any evidence for it? And so these highly intelligent people in one area, they're critical of the Bible, but they're not critical of their science book. If they were equally critical of their college professor and their science book, they'd probably get kicked out of school. So the Lord marveled at their unbelief. And then he went round about the villages teaching. So this is in Galilee. It's in Nazareth, up in that area. He went from village to village, and he would go into the Jewish synagogue and teach some things. And so then in verse 7, he called unto them the 12. So now we got the 12. He's divided them up into six groups and began to send them forth two by two. Okay, so who do you think Judas had for a partner? Maybe Thomas. Maybe kind of rubbed off, doubting Thomas. But what were all 12 capable of doing, and gave them power over unclean spirits? Healing. Judas Iscariot. What did Jesus say about him? Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil, so the devil can heal? And that's, of course, going to be the way the Antichrist deceives people, Revelation 13, through the great miracles. He gave them power over unclean spirits. Okay, that's an idea that's universal. Where as a born-again believer, you and I have power over unclean spirits through the name and blood of Jesus Christ. That's universal. Okay, the gift of healing is time-sensitive. That's Jewish. And it's been put on hold as tongues has been put on hold. But they will come back in play in the tribulation time period, when the Jewish evangelists will need that, tongues, run around the world, any language, okay, and drink any deadly thing, won't heal them, hurt them, and they'll be able to heal folks. The Antichrist will be able to heal folks. The Antichrist can bring down lightning down and strike a person dead. Boy, that tribulation is going to be a wild scene. It's going to be so deceptive, and it says, if it be possible, to deceive the very elect. It's going to be so deceptive. Now, there's a common common belief that if a person heard the gospel before the rapture, that they will not get a chance to believe after the rapture. I don't, you know, I've looked at that material. I'm not sure if I believe that. But if a person is not going to accept the free grace of God now, they most definitely, I'd say most definitely, they're not going to be willing to accept it during the tribulation, where it's a faith and work system. goes back under the Jewish law. And plus the deception of Satan. Boy, we underestimate the devil. We underestimate his ability to deceive. We underestimate his knowledge of the Bible, where he can just shift it here and shift it there. And a lot of times people who don't read the Bible much, they're going to get hoodwinked by that. And he'll use the Bible to deceive. Is that now what he used to tempt the Lord? He misquoted Scripture? Okay, and if the apostles, they weren't around at the time, but if they were, it might have deceived them. And it's a tricky thing. And so, okay, they went out two by two and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey. So the faith healers obviously violate that aspect. Save a staff only. No script, no bread, no money in their purse. But be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into the house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust from under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable than for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Wow, that's an amazing statement. Now he mentioned that again. In Matthew 11, where he mentioned three places, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, and he said it's going to be more tolerable for the Sodomites and the ones in Tyre. So Tyre and Sidon must have had these same things. It's going to be more tolerable for them at the judgment than for the people in Capernaum, Bethsaida, and Chorazin. And boy, that's something to think about. That idea in itself, more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, that's bad, bad news. In the day of judgment then for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Okay, so men should repent. Of course, you got to always, define the word repent and all that stuff. And so you go to the first time it's found in the Bible. You find it in Genesis 6, 6 and 7, where God repented, he made man. So that obviously shows us that the first occurrence is not dealing with repenting from sin. If you would try Acts 20. The problem in a day and age of apostasy, which we live in, is that we see people who get saved or make professions and then get excited and then fall away. And then we've seen that if you've walked with the Lord long enough, you're going to see dozens and dozens of people walk away. And so what people tend to do is, because of that, then they want to try to make certain somebody's saved or they're genuine and all that stuff. And then they make all these outward regulations, and people can fake that. Jesus said people who are born of the Spirit in John 3:8 are like the wind. So that person, it's between that person and the Lord. In Acts 20, it says in verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. And notice, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Biblical repentance is repenting toward God. When you repent toward God, you've repented from what you've been trusting. But a person can repent from sin and not repent toward God. And they can kind of clean up their act, turn over a new leaf and all that stuff. Repentance toward God is the key. That's the key in the New Testament. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you have a public declaration, you can just spew out, words like repent to people. And most people probably don't even know what that means anymore. But when you're dealing with a person individually, it's a little different ball game. So when we're holding scripture signs Or if there's a place where a person could actually lift up their voice and preach, like maybe down at Purdue, you know, you throw out a verse here, verse there. And so, but when a person comes and talks to you, then that's a different ball game than when you're blaring out words. And so, two different approaches. Okay, and then in verse 13, they cast out many devils. Okay, cast out many devils. And anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Okay, the anointing with oil there, you can run that to James 5. And like there was a church in Ohio where they had, you know, a lady in churches had cancer and was dying of cancer. So they took James 5 and anointed her with oil and everything and expected her to get healed. And she died from the cancer. And that, of course, shook their faith. And then the pastor himself got cancer. And they, again, went to James 5 and anointed with him oil. And the pastor died from cancer. And it shook their faith. Somebody came along and revealed to them the importance of rightly dividing Scripture. And they said, why didn't anybody tell us this? Now, the Lord on occasion will cross a dispensation like he did for, remember the woman of Canaan brought her daughter to Jesus? The apostle said, get rid of that woman. Get rid of her. The Lord ignored her at first, and she kept it up and kept it up. And then the Lord said, I'm not going to the lost sheep, but the house of Israel. And then she came back and said, yeah, but at least the dogs eat the crumbs. The Lord jumped a dispensation there because he was going to the lost sheep of Israel. Hey, lady, I'm going to answer your prayer. So I think a person, James 5, you could anoint someone with oil and pray, but recognize the Lord could cross a dispensation, but also recognize James 1:1, he's talking to the 12 tribes during the tribulation time period. So yes, we know God can heal. God can heal at any time, but God's not using healers in these days. There are some things that because of what we've learned from Morris, we've seen amazing, shall we say, you want to say healing, but I would say it's actually giving the body what it needs to heal itself. But yet we can speed that up through the energy work and through ultraviolet light is a good healing. And there are all sorts of different techniques. What was the one, Brother Paul, you had? Rife machine. We have a radionics machine, which is kind of an extension of the Rife machine. But nothing bats 1,000. Okay, nothing bats 1,000 in all this stuff. And so we just try this and try that and try this and see what helps your body. We're open to do it. Okay, but in this context, verse 13, the casting out of devils is a universal thing where that we have power in the name of Jesus Christ. The anointing with oil, that's a possibility. A person can do that spiritually, do a cleansing of a property, which we do like on occasion. So you could use like olive oil and then kind of walk through your house, you know, maybe put on the doorpost and then shoo the devils out. That's a capability because a lot of times we don't realize, we don't know what's happened on our property in the past. What if there was a murder on that property and the blood is still crying out? And so that can be taken care of. One time Brent and Jen was at our house in the basement right before we went to bed and I think we were in bed, they ran upstairs and they said, Dad, when was the last time you prayed over the house? I said, well, it's been a while. And they said, I said, why? Well, we were laying in bed and we heard somebody walking across the carpet. And so it's like, I said, okay, I'll go downstairs. And so I just kind of cleansed the house. And yes, that can happen. Doesn't it say in Ephesians 4, neither give place to the devil? So he can take up residence in a place. I'll pray over the church building every once in a while, because we have all people coming in, and you don't know what some people are carrying with them. And so, yeah, we need to do that. We need to do that on occasion. And that's something that's available to us. In verse 14, and King Herod, so he shifts, and he says, and King Herod heard of him. So the camera goes from the apostles to King Herod. Heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. Okay, in parentheses, he heard about Jesus. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Can you imagine Herod having a tough time sleeping at night? He's the one that ordered the execution of John the Baptist. You know, it looks like from the outside, people that do these things sleep well at night, but there's you don't know what the Lord's doing with those people. Stalin had 8 bedrooms. And he would go to different bedrooms, because if he looked out the window of a building and see 2 people talking, he assumed they were talking about him. And a tyrant is often assassinated. And so these people don't sleep as good as some people think they do. Now, if they're a full-fledged psychopath, you know, they don't really lose sleep over the crimes they've committed. But they might get haunted. God might send that, and old Herod still haven't been bothered about John the Baptist. I don't know if anybody saw The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson. Anybody see that? I kind of like how he portrayed Herod. Yeah, queer as a $3 bill. Which probably was. And so then, in verse 50, others said, this is Elias. And others said this, that it is a prophet or is one of the prophets. Now, Mark, he just mentions that statement, but the idea of verse 15, if you go to the Matthew portion, Jesus asked the apostles, whom do men say that I am? Matthew 16, 13. And so then they said, well, some say this, some say that, some say this. And then he said, Pete, who do you say I am? He said, well, I know who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the Lord said to him, well, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, meaning God revealed that to you. In other words, he spoke by the inspiration of God. Well, then just, let's see, that'd be verse 18, and then 19, and then 21, Jesus said, oh, by the way, fellas, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to be killed 3 days. I'm going to rise from the dead. 22, Peter said, oh, be it far from thee. Be it far from thee. That's not going to happen to you. And then Jesus said, 23, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, there's a paragraph mark of verse 21, so you don't know the time stamp in there. But the way the narrative's written, Peter spoke by the inspiration of God here in verse 18 and by the inspiration of the devil in verse 23. And that can happen to any of us. And it can happen that fast. And so we just need to be open to that idea that that can happen. So in verse 16, and when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. Yeah, you keep thinking about that, bud. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold on John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her in person. Well, look at it. What do you mean? Yeah, those marriages are political expediency. You know, I think Bill Clinton's life verse would have been, it's better to dwell in a wide house than in a brawling house with a woman. That's definitely expediency, political expediency. And if we really knew about some of these people, we'd be shocked. They fake pregnancies, they fake this, they fake that. And it's an amazing thing. So in verse 18, John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias, look who got mad. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. Herod respected him. But Herodias, boy, a wicked woman, driving force behind the devilment of men. The first time you find the word govern in the Bible is with Jezebel. When Ahab was pouting, "Oh, I want Naboth's vineyard," and Jezebel said, "Don't you govern Israel?" And then she trumped up a charge against Naboth and then had him executed. And then there goes Ahab getting the property. And then here comes Elijah saying, "Bud, the dogs are getting you." And he died shortly thereafter. And that would be 21. So 1 Kings 21 is the Bible example of government confiscation of property, eminent domain and all that stuff. And so there, that was a woman that did that. And so, these women that get in this position, whew. So in verse 20, Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced, so she did a belly dance of some type, pleased Herod. And then that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." And he sware unto her, "Whatsoever thou wilt ask, shalt ask of me, I will give it to thee unto the half of my kingdom." And she went forth and said unto her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Whoa, that's weird. So let's see. Well, let's finish that storyline. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, "I will that thou give me by and by in a charger, the head of John the Baptist." The king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes, which sat with him, and he would not reject her. He could have got out of that. All he had to do is go to a Jewish rabbi, say, "I made a wrong vow. Offer a sacrifice. God will forgive them." But when people do this, political pressure. And immediately the king sent an executioner, commanded his head to be brought. He went and beheaded him in a prison, brought his head in a charger. Who does stuff like that? And gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. So, okay, that's up 29. We'll stop there. Any questions or comments we covered? Ooh, I went 6 minutes over. I'm going to have to get fired.
One, I pray for the school. I pray.
Yeah, amen.
The school has your protection. Bind the evil spirits. I don't always tell Deborah, and then when she comes home, I ask how to go. She said, "It's been a pretty good day."
Yeah.
But I don't do that. I know when she comes home, at certain times, she's just telling me how bad things are, and I believe that it's time to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe it works.
Yeah, most definitely. Yes.
Another question.
Uh-huh.
Verse 5 here, where Jesus could do no mighty works.
Yeah.
Okay. That was because of their rejection of him, and they had no belief in him.
Mm-hmm.
So he was limited because they did not believe.
In John 2, it says that he, when they didn't believe in him, that he would not commit himself to them. So the idea was that if they don't want it, then I'm not going to give it.
They rejected him. And
yeah.
That's what you want. That's what I'm going to get this time.
Yeah.
And the second thing, or the third thing, would be the devils that are mentioned here in chapter 6, or the unclean spirits, which are devils, in chapter 5. Does the Bible give us any indication at all where all those devils come from?
Ooh. When you deal with demonology, what's called demonology, you have one devil, many devils, then you have spirits, and it If these things are like flies and mosquitoes, then I believe that they are repopulating.
The devils can repopulate themselves without the devil.
Yeah. And there's a thing called rods, which is kind of weird. So God calls, Isaiah called the Assyrian, who's a type of the Antichrist, God's rod. But there are little rods, like you can't even see them sometimes, but and they can fly around and they seem like they can affect. So I don't know if the little rod is a small version of a UFO ship that Zechariah writes about that's in the shape of a cylinder. So, but yet it seems that these can go out and influence people.
I mean, there was a legion in
Pennsylvania.
That's a lot of devils.
Yeah, and that's why we had such absurd behavior. So Mary Magdalene had 7, and we don't know what caused her to have 7. People assume it was sexual, but it could be, it couldn't be. But 7 was enough. And so, yeah, but the maniac.
The devils, the evil spirits, can actually regenerate.
I believe they do. I don't know if I can give scripture for that, except that Satan has a child. He can have children.
Correct. He can have children.
Yeah. Genesis 3:15, virtually any Bible teacher will use that passage to give the first prophecy of Jesus, where he talks about thy seed and her seed. And I would agree, yeah, that is probably the first direct prophecy of Jesus down the road. But 0 of them talk about the seed of Satan. And so that tells us that Satan can produce, and some feel that there are breeding factories in certain places down dark, down in the tunnels below. And, you know, some may be feeling, yeah, it's kind of weird. We're getting kind of weird stuff, but
this is all aside from fallen angels, too. That's different, right?
That's different. Fallen angels, devils, spirits. Yeah, Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and I believe that's literal. Yeah, I think that he had children, therefore they have no emotion. When they was involved with the crucifixion, no empathy, no nothing. It's like a lion killing a gazelle, no emotion.
My concern would be better, but it would have been better for me if they had just said, this is a mystery.
Yeah.
Which it is.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, there are some books a person can read to learn about it, so you don't have to learn about it firsthand, but Bill Snebland has some things on it.
I don't know if I'm interested in it just popped off the page, and I was curious as to... You know,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, Chick Publications has one where a lady, as she was born, she had a very bad cleft palate, and her mom was at Trailer Park, so they're very poor, and a nurse got involved and said, we will pay for this surgery if you'd like. Of course, what mother wouldn't want that? So she did, but that nurse was a witch. And she kept track of that girl until she was a teenager and then pulled her in. And then that girl became one of the brides of Satan. Marriage ceremony and everything. So it's quite a story. Yeah, so it's kind of, yeah, different. Thank God I was sheltered from that.
I guess it's just enough to know the attributes of a devil.
Yeah.
Where one could be wary enough to stay clear or protect himself in prayer.
Yes. We have the whole armor of God. Yeah. And so like when we go out on the street, especially down in Purdue, we put on the whole armor of God mentally. And so because you're like in trench warfare with young kids, they think they know a lot. So they're kind of entertaining if you don't take it personally. And vulgar too. So, but they need a savior. They're blind. They're blind, they're deaf, say they need a Savior. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're down there, I'll see some guys I play basketball with, because they've got about four or five guys that go to Purdue. So, okay, anybody else? Okay, any prayer questions?